After he had said this, he was taken up as they were watching, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, they were gazing into heaven, and suddenly, two men in white clothes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into heaven? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come in the same way that he has been seen going into heaven."
Thank you, James. Thank you. Let's pray as we begin to study God's word together. Father, we thank you for your word, for your word is truth. Would you bless the study of it now? May we be free from distraction, and may we be able to hear you speak through your word and through the words of a mere man. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're looking at Psalm 47, but Psalm 47 is one of three together with 46 and 48. And Psalm 46, we find Emmanuel, God with us in all his deity and power, and yet with tenderness and patience and care. God is our refuge and strength, a helper who is always found in times of trouble. God is within her, she will not be toppled. God will help her when the morning dawns. The Lord of armies is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. God with us, in all his deity and power, yet with tenderness and patience and care. And in Psalm 48, we see, again, the Lord Jesus and his returning glory. So we can rest in the hope of that day. He will guide us beyond our earthly death. So we read, "God, within your temple, we contemplate your faithful love. Like your name, God, so your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with justice. Mount Zion is glad. Judah's villages rejoice because of your judgments. Go around Zion, encircle it, count its towers, note its ramparts, tour its citadels, so that you can tell a future generation, this God, our God, forever and ever, he will always lead us." If Psalm 46 is Emmanuel, God with us, Christ's birth, and Psalm 48 is his returning glory, Psalm 47 is ascension. It's Jesus crowned as the King of earth in heaven. He ascends amid shouts of joy with the sound of trumpets. He sits on the throne because the critical work of salvation is finished. All that is needed to be done for your and my rescue from sin and death has been achieved. Jesus reigns. So I hope you will look with joy with me at these verses and see how hundreds of years before he came to the earth, lived, died, rose again, and ascended, the Lord Jesus was proclaimed as the King who has gone up, verse 5. Of chapter 47 of the Psalms, the 47th Psalm. Verse 5, you see, is a perfect tense, complete historic action. God who has gone up among shouts of joy. He came down among us in verse 46, but now what he came to do is done. The writer to the Hebrews says, "One sacrifice for sins forever." No one else can do this. All the previous priests, says that writer, had come and gone and day after day offering the same sacrifices time after time, which can never take away sins. But Jesus' sacrifice, once and for all, and then back to heaven, to glory, not to remain there on his own, but as we read in Psalm 48, the expectation of us joining him, of heaven being populated with his people. Let's grab the big picture of Psalm 47. Verse 1 is an instruction. Clap your hands, all you people. Offer up your praise to God. But why should the nations offer up praise to Israel's God? Indeed, why all these nations, who more often than not are in the firing line of the psalmist, these evil people that who've done wrong to God's people and are critiqued by the prophets and told all sorts of judgments will come on them. Why Will all these nations come and offer joyful praise? Good question. Well, the early verbs are imperfects. They're not perfect tenses. They indicate a pattern of ongoing past action again and again. The pattern of God's people, chosen for his inheritance, then used by God gloriously to proclaim his glory and to reveal his love. You see that in verses 3 and 4. That pattern is a summary record of the Old Testament. In Hezekiah's day, Sennacherib claimed to be a great king. Verse 2. But God, via Isaiah, warned Hezekiah, don't go to others for help. I will come down and shield Jerusalem. And God did. David, King David, asked us to ascend the hill of the Lord. This was how the people worshipped until the temple was built. And was not the ark carried up in triumph to shouts of joy and sound of trumpets? You can check that out in 2 Samuel and read the account, the history of those days of praise. The days of Moses and Exodus are recalled, as are the days of Abraham. The title Most High is not a common title in the Old Testament after Abraham and Melchizedek until you get to the New Testament. But it is here in verse 2. And so verse 5 becomes the triumphant culmination of God's revelation through his Old Testament people. On and on and on, this revelation has happened through his people. But now, this once and for all, this finished action, God has ascended to heaven. But these are words of prophecy. They come hundreds of years before Jesus Christ. But we know with certainty now, it is indeed Jesus Christ who has ascended and sat down. The Son of God has come. He revealed himself to be fully God. As we read before of his ascension, the disciples saw heaven open. They'd seen that before. They knew what they were looking at. But Jesus came and did all that God should do. He was fully God. He had complete control over creation, complete understanding of the human condition. He loved people despite their being sinners, but he hates sin. And he worked for the saving of people and the restraining and the ultimate defeat of sin and its consequences. And so now we come to the second part. Speaking again in fixed terms, the actions of Jesus have fixed the outcome. This will happen. There is no way that this cannot come to pass. The four in verse 7 should really be at the beginning of the verse. Because God is the King of the whole earth, sing a wisdom song. Sing with knowledge. My friends, God is seated in heaven, God reigns. So verse 9, the great triumph is not that the nobles of the peoples of the world have joined with Abraham's people into sort of one crowd that needs to be separated again, sheep and goats. The conjunction in that verse really does join these groups together. So the commentator Wilcox says this last verse is the jewel in the crown. The nobles of the nations assemble as the people of God of Abraham. Abraham's God has met them, overcome their enmity, won their admiration, and called forth their faith. God has done this. That is why he is greatly exalted. Not until Galatians 3 will we see this explained in Christian terms. Let me read to you from Paul's letter to the Galatians, just a few verses. You know then that those who have faith, these are Abraham's sons. Now, the scripture saw in advance that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and proclaimed the gospel ahead of time to Abraham, saying, "All the nations will be blessed through you." Consequently, those who have faith are blessed with Abraham, who had faith. The nobles of the peoples have assembled with the people of the God of Abraham. We could say the nobles of the peoples have assembled as the people of the God of Abraham, because they belong to God. And he has drawn out their faith, conquered their enmity. Oh, my friends, what wonder is this? What prophecy is this? And it is fulfilled in Jesus as he ascends. It is a fixed thing. It will happen. One day soon, every knee will bow. Just as the disciples waited from ascension to Pentecost, and of course, this psalm waited to be fulfilled until Jesus came, it still waits to be finally fulfilled. There is still a waiting going on. We wait this ascended King, Jesus, we await his return. But God has sent the Holy Spirit to come and bless us. And that is what God the Holy Spirit is doing now. He is working it so that the nobles of the people will assemble as his people. The promise to Abraham will be fulfilled. There will be the greatest exaltation of God and the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Holy Spirit. It is to come. It will happen. So my friends, as we proclaim the risen and ascended Lord Jesus today, it is vital we also ask the question, how are we at being his people? Yes, there has been a fulfillment of this psalm. The Old Testament people's work is done. Jesus has come, he has won, and he has ascended to heaven. But the New Testament people's work is not yet done. Now is our time to act, and act well, as he subdues people under us or not, as he has chosen us for his inheritance, as he loves us in the same way he loved them. And he gives us reason to shout for joy and sound trumpets as he did for them. Indeed, one might say more so for us, for we have seen Jesus go up to heaven. We have nothing to fear. And we should be about this business. We have nothing to fear because Psalm 46 says we rest in his care, God with us. We have nothing to fear because Psalm 47 says we rest on his finished work. He is in heaven. These things will happen. And we have nothing to fear because Psalm 48 says we rest in the sure and certain hope of home, his home being our home, of joining him in glory. Until he comes or he calls us home, surely we should proclaim this King and crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon the throne. Hark, how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Will you sing with me of our risen and ascended Lord Jesus?